From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Swimming is one of the most popular recreational sports in America, behind only walking, running, and cycling. That's according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. But it's not evenly popular across America, across demographics. And one of the largest differences is among African Americans.
For generations, this has been an all too familiar tale within the Black community. But here's something you may not know. Black children are drowning at 3 times the rate of white children. And years of racial segregation in America's pools may be to blame.
During the 1920s and 1930s, when cities opened up large resort-like pools, they permitted males and females to use them together. And it was at that point that white swimmers and public officials imposed racial segregation. Swimming became broadly popular within white communities, and it was passed down from generation to generation. Because of African Americans' more restricted access, swimming did not become a broadly popular activity among Black families within Black communities.
I think the biggest thing that they overcome is fear. We have a lot of kids that are afraid to even get in the water.
All our life, most of us, honestly, we was told to stay from the water. It's like a family tradition that they had from generation to the next generation. So I taught my children to stay away from water.
Along with Native Americans, people who are Black and under 30 drown at significantly higher rates than their peers who are white. Because of that, there's been an effort to get more Black children into swimming lessons and into swimming as a sport. Joining me now to talk more about this is Latasha Key, PhD candidate in the University of Illinois Department of Recreation, Sport, and Tourism. As part of her dissertation, she's created a swim lesson program specifically designed with Black girls in mind. Latasha, welcome to The 21st Show. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Taria Goodwin, head coach of the Makos swim team, an all-Black team based at the O'Fallon Park Rec Complex, YMCA, in St. Louis. Taria, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
Listeners, you can join us today at 800-222-9455. Maybe you're a swimmer yourself. How do you think teaching children to swim can be improved, I should say? Especially if you are African American. Did you grow up swimming, or was it something you were cautioned against? Let us know. 800-222-9455. 800-222-9455. All right, Latasha, I want to begin with you. Talk about the history. We heard a little bit of it in some of those clips, but talk about the history behind those statistics I read. How did we come to this point?
Yes, definitely. So with the history of African-American not swimming, it actually started with the transatlantic slave trade, and it's progressed when they were slaves. Swimming was not something that was positive enforced because slave owners did not want individuals to escape. So they actually used the water as a punishment. And as we progress from the slave era, then we come into the Jim Crow era in the South as well as in the North. And Jim Crow laws in the South were very blatant as signage was saying that you were not able to swim or take part in sharing restaurants with individuals that were white. And in the North, it wasn't as blatant, but it was notably known that it was, we're full, we can't accept you. So it's progressed over the years. And then when the laws started changing, that pools, as one of the clips had stated, the pools were built in predominantly white community neighborhoods. Over time, there were Black pools, but they were actually a lot smaller. And even when the laws decided that they needed to desegregate, a lot of pools ended up closing because they did not want to desegregate. So that's part of where we've come. And then with the generational trauma, it has progressed. As the one young lady has stated, it's coming down from one generation to the other. So if the grandmother or grandfather did not swim or they had a fear, it was passed to their children. And Even in today, it is still evident in some families.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. You mentioned I think there's a famous example of one of these attempts to desegregate a swimming pool, a public pool in Illinois. It was in Cairo. John Lewis himself, when he was a young civil rights activist, was campaigning there, and the white powers that be in the town decided to fill the pool in rather than desegregate it,
mm-hmm.
To your point. So, mm-hmm. Taria, let me bring you into the conversation, because I understand you've been swimming since you were 4 years old. Who or what got you into the water at such an early age?
My mother actually got me in the water so early because her mother witnessed a close friend drown, and so she was afraid of her kids to get in the water, like they said, close down. So when I was born, my mom's like, hold on, I have to stop this. I'm scared. She still don't know how to swim, and she's scared, so she didn't want me to be scared. So she took me and my cousin to a local YMCA to learn how to swim at four.
Did you find it was, I mean, were you sort of alone with your cousin there in terms of people who look like you, or were you welcomed, or what was that like?
Yeah, I was welcome because it was actually in a inner city in Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay.
So at that age, if it was different color, didn't recognize it or pay no attention. I remember being terrified of the water, but just the instructor was so amazing. My mom still talks about her to this day. That
wow.
She just got to swim.
And is your mom still afraid of the water, or is she... She worked on that for herself as well.
She's still afraid of the water. She keeps, because she's in Kansas City and I'm in St. Louis. She keeps saying, I'm going to come down there and you can teach me. And I'm pretty good. I could teach a lot of adults within a couple of lessons.
Nice. All right. So from your experience, you mentioned your family history. Is that a common story you've heard? Are there other African-Americans you've talked to? Like what makes them disinterested in swimming? Yeah, go ahead.
It's majority. I have so many friends who are terrified of the water, and I keep offering them my services. I got family members. I believe me and my cousin is probably the only two that know how to swim in my family. But the younger ones under us, I took upon myself to grab any young one I can. And they used to go to the pool with me, and I was teaching all of them how to swim.
Latasha, how much access does like a typical black child in America have to swimming lessons, if you can sort of average it out?
Yeah, I definitely would have to average it because it's dependent on circumstances and situations. It comes down to the availability and location and transportation are definitely some of the barriers, and also the time when are swimming lessons held. And I think that's probably one of the challenges to get more children involved in swimming, and having that access is important, but being able to remove these barriers or have solutions to them is something that's paramount.
So how, Latasha, how are children typically taught swimming in America?
Usually they are enrolled in a program, whether it's at a YMCA, a Boys and Girls Club, if they have access to a pool, sometimes a public parks. A lot of times park districts have outdoor pools. There are a few that have indoor pool, like the one we have here in Urbana. So that's usually how children are exposed. If there is a park and there's a organization or the aquatics director or swim coordinator is interested in providing swim lessons, they will advertise that. And nowadays it's either through social media or it's on their organization's website.
And I understand there's like YMCA has one method of teaching, the Red Cross has another. Can you talk about those differences?
I'm very familiar with the American Red Cross.
That's
how I learned how my training is through the American Red Cross. I've been teaching swim lessons since I was 16. So over close to probably over 30, 35 years of teaching swimming. So I'm very familiar with that. And they have levels, as well as the YMCA, they have levels of swim instruction as well. They're very similar in process. It's just slightly differences of when they introduce certain skills and strokes. So it's just really how unique it is, and depending on how often. Sometimes the YMCA is a year-round program, and if it is taught by the American Red Cross, normally it is at the outdoor pools during the summer.
Sure. And Taria, I understand, so you're at a YMCA. Can you speak to their method and how it might differ?
Yeah, I'm at the Y. But I started with American Red Cross, and it's just been embedded in me for, like you said, 20, 25 years. So I typically lean more towards American Red Cross instead of YMCA. But the difference between YMCA, they use more flotation devices. I'm totally against flotation devices, only because they start depending on them, and I don't want them to depend on them. We'll probably, after they're comfortable and they're more, you know, we start with bobs and bubbles, and I teach them how to be safe in the water. So that's where we really starts with being safe and how to not just jump in and know when to turn around when it gets deep. So I give them that comfortability, get them comfortable before we even try anything with a safety device.
You reminded me of my kids' swim lessons, getting in the safe way. They always say that phrase. So you don't bump your head on the side of the pool. All right, Latasha, talk about your program, how it's different from the way swimming has typically been taught.
Well, I use elements, a lot of elements from the American Red Cross, but I think the main difference with my culturally responsive sustaining program is that I am intentional about finding African American instructors, and also adding the cultural component to the lessons to encourage Black girls. And I did have some lessons where I had their siblings, the Black boys, also a part of the program. So it's opening their eyes to seeing others that look like them, but representation really does matter, and having them feel comfortable understanding what we're saying, how we're saying it, and that we are empathetic. And the training that I was able to implement with the instructors, and then being able to talk with them before our lessons started. And then after each lesson concluded, we reviewed how did it go, where do we need to change. And then we were able to identify some of the children, how do we need to help them and assist them. So, and then talking with their parents. So it's a community focus with this type of a program, and it's not just only let's get in the water, let's teach you some skills. It's also helping the parents, the grandparents, whoever was able to watch the children, comforting them and answering any questions that they may have. Well, why did you do this? Why was this a part of it? Why didn't you add this? Or when are they going to go to the deep end? So it was just a nice way of being able to be even more personable. So that's kind of what my focus of the program that I developed is about.
I'm glad you mentioned the parents, because it's as a parent of, I mean, my kids are like, you know, middle age for kids now, I guess, eight and 12. But when they were younger, you know, so much of education, be it swimming lessons or preschool or whatever, it's also about educating the parents as much as it is the kids.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Taria, I wonder what you think of that, what you've heard.
That's awesome. It's very important that you do make the parents feel as uncomfortable as the kids, because I remember teaching a swim lesson to a young man, and his mother was so afraid of the water. She just kept running and being so, and making him scared, because the kids, they feel what the parents feel. Mm-hmm. So if he see his mom this terrified of the water, then he's going to be terrified, not knowing But his mother's scared. He should be scared. So is a learned behavior. So with your going in and making the parents feel comfortable, letting them understand what you're doing, that's amazing. And having a whole class full of African American and girls, and they don't have to worry about feeling different than anyone else. So mm-hmm. I think that's great.
Well, thank you.
All right, we are going to continue this conversation. We need to take a break. We are speaking with Taria Goodwin, who is the head coach of the Makos swim team, an all-black swim team, part of the O'Fallon Park Rec Complex, YMCA, in St. Louis. Also, Latasha Key, who is a PhD candidate at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign in the Department of Recreation, Sports, and Tourism. She's designing a new program aimed at helping black girls in particular learn to swim. Culturally responsive swim lessons. All right. We are, if you want to join us today, 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455. We're going to take a short break. More when we return. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and today we are talking about the fact that black children are significantly more likely to drown than white children, and what is being done to try and shift, change that. As we've been talking, there are historic reasons for this, including segregationist policies in the North as well as the South that kept black children from using public pools, leading to a generational fear of the water. But that is shifting, as we saw back in 2016 at the Olympics in Rio.
Simone Manuel could become the first female African-American to win an individual medal. The American lane three, and below Manuel is the favorite Campbell.
Look at Simone Manuel!
Simone Manuel is really taking the gas here, trying to pass Kate Campbell for Olympic gold, and Manuel is going to do it!
Oh, I can't begin to tell you what this means for the sport of swimming in the United States.
We are talking about this with Latasha Key, PhD candidate in the Department of Recreation, Sports, and Tourism at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. She's designing a new program aimed at helping black girls learn to swim. We're also speaking about this with Taria Goodwin, head coach of the Makos swim team, part of the O'Fallon Park Rec Complex, YMCA, in St. Louis. You can join us by calling 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. And in fact, let's go to the phones now. Christy is calling from East Moline on line one.
Hi. I'm calling on behalf of the Illinois State Alliance of YMCA. So hi, Taria. Glad you're on. I'm just calling because thank you, first of all, for your guests today and talking about this issue. The Alliance of YMCAs recently received a congressionally directed spending amount from Senator Duckworth to actually work on drowning prevention. And we will be re-granting this out to YMCAs across the state to do what we call a safety around water program. And so we've been talking about swim teams and swim lessons, but this is kind of just the level to keep kids safe. So we're going to be trying to get kids adjusted to being in the water, give them some skill sets to be safe, talk about safety topics with them. And the most important part is we really want to reach out into the communities that are being discussed today. And so we have a variety of ways we're going to be doing that. We're going to be partnering with other statewide communities. We're going to be taking swim lessons to community pools where kids of color live. So we really want to just make sure that every kid who may have a fear of water and may not want to engage in a full swim lesson, we can at least give them the skills so they're safe around water.
Mm-hmm. All right, Christy, thank you so much for calling in and sharing that. I appreciate it. Latasha, what do you think of that? I guess there's a spectrum, right, from just getting kids comfortable and sort of life safety up to actually becoming, recreational or even competitive swimmers.
Oh, I love this. I I definitely feel that it's going to take organizations to partner with other existing organizations that are youth-facing and youth-serving to reduce the swimming gap as well as the drowning gap. So I would love to see, you know, a lot of states basically follow what they're doing and what they're hoping to accomplish. So I'm excited to hear this.
Taria, so we heard that clip coming out of the break of Simone Manuel. Talk about the Mako swim team. How did that come about?
Yes, that was amazing. That when Simone Manuel came in, that was just, it was just so amazing. And we actually got to see her, me and the swim team, this for the Olympic trials.
Oh, wow.
In June, we was gifted free pass. We got to go in there. And it was just absolutely amazing. So when 2013, 2014, our YMCA in the community was built, and they actually built our pool not ever thinking it was going to be a swim team there, because they was like, it's not going to be a swim team. It's in the Black community. We don't have to worry about the depths. We don't have to worry about how many lanes they have. We don't have to worry about starting blocks. So we're very limited, but we started with a group of kids in swim lessons. We had to teach them swim lessons first and said, hey, we're going to start a swim team. We're going to teach you all how to swim. And then majority of the kids never heard of a swim team, but we started with probably maybe 6 to 10 kids. Now almost 10 years later, I'm up to 41 kids in a 3-lane pool. We started way at the bottom. We was really a recreational team. Like, we couldn't really say competitive at that point when we first started. Now we're competitive. We're dual YMCA and USA. The team has won regional championships, second place winners of regional championships 2 years in a row. And that's from being the very at the bottom for years and years. So now, and they just keep coming. I know I'm pretty sure I'm gonna run out of space, but
3 lanes, I would think so.
Keep playing Tetris and I keep trying. I'm like, because I can't say no, and I'm like, okay, maybe I could do 50. I'm gonna have to stop, but then 50 will come, and who knows.
All right, I want to play another clip. This is a few years old, but it's someone named Alex Fleming Lake, who gave one of those TEDx talks when he was in 7th grade about being the only Black swimmer on his team.
I swam varsity for my school, and I'm doing very well on my country club team. But I'm even more than that. I'm the only Black swimmer in my swim group. It has had its moments. Anyway, like when I first met my coach. Don't get me wrong, he's a great coach, and he's been coaching around for about 30 years. But when I first met him, he didn't shake my hand. But he did shake the hands of other swimmers and treated them professionally. As I began to get deeper into my training and got to be a better swimmer, the coach started to treat me like the others and shook my hand too.
Taria, what are some of the reactions you've seen from other swim teams when they first encounter the Makos?
It was pretty bad when we first started. They look at us and they could not believe. Like, recently, I went to a swim meet in Wisconsin. I didn't get greeted by any coach, even that host team. I think they was more surprised that 40 Black kids was walking in there to swim, because unfortunately it's still new, even though our team is not that new, but in a lot of circles it's new, because I think they're more surprised than anything. And then in our neighborhoods, in our community, is no schools around here for my kids to go to, so they had to get bused out to schools in the white communities to participate, to swim. And most of them are usually the only Blacks, but they go right to varsity. And they And they coaches, they told me the coaches' reaction to them knowing how to swim already, they just be stunned. But I see it's getting better. I ain't saying it's all the way where it should be and where we should be. And they should notice and be like, hey, this team, they're here. The Blacks are now swimming. They still get a little surprise, unfortunately.
Latasha, I wonder if you have any reaction to that.
I agree with what she's saying because it's still a level of shock and awe as well as some prejudice to have individuals like, oh my gosh, they're coming into this space. They're going to be able to swim and maybe beat our kids. So it's kind of an elitist. They're trying to, you know, individuals want to keep this sport maybe an elitist, but at the end of the day, which is what my research focuses on, it's an essential life skill. Every single person should know how to swim and be safe in and around the water. But it is, you know, I was also at the Olympic swimming trials in Indianapolis, and it was, you know, hopefully one day, the next Olympics, we will see more diversity in our swimmers.
Taria, how has being on the Mako's team affected the lives of the young people that you're coaching?
I think it's been very positive. They all the kids are excellent. I make sure they have good, their grades stay well to stay on the team. They learn teamwork. We go over goals and responsibilities, and I also have to teach them when we do go into a lot of white spaces, how to conduct themselves and how, you know, they can't talk like they talk to their friends sometimes. And sometimes that bad habits, but, and then even when they see prejudice come about, which they have had to experience, unfortunately, we go through that and we talk about how that goes. But then on the upside of their experience in swimming, we get to travel now. We haven't traveled before, but now we're traveling more, going outside of St. Louis. And some kids have never went off their block. So that experience, and they just wait. They're like, are we going, where are we going next? Where are we going next? And they're so ecstatic about it and want to come to swim team practice. Even when they're sick, they want to come to swim team practice. And no, you stay home. So I do, one of the kids, she was mad because she was sick, but I'm like, no, you stay home. And then they love their friendships that they're creating during swim. And I could say the same thing, because this stuff, at the end of the day, when they become my age, they will not remember what race they won or lost, but they remember every place they went. They remember every friend. And I was 6 and 7 years old, and we swam together till we was in high school, and I still talk to them, and we still communicate, and I still remember all our trips. Don't remember those races, but I remember those trips.
Well said, well said. Latasha, beyond your program, what other changes need to happen in order to get more Black children swimming safely?
I think this program is definitely good start, but I think it's honestly communicating and educating the public and starting in elementary schools, exposing in our physical education classes what dry land, you can have dry land safety, because if we're trying to prevent drownings, all kids can do dry land safety exercises and have fun and be creative. So I think, in my opinion, even if you don't have a pool in your school district or at the elementary school level, having dry land, courses or curriculum that kids can understand. So by the time they are able to get to a pool, even if it's just whether it's a hotel pool, a lot of kids do go to a hotel pool their parents take them to just so they can be in the pool and exposed, but also during the summer months when swimming lessons are at their height, actually having the kids already have an idea of what the depth of the water is, how to properly enter and exit, and, you know, what are the rules? No running, no diving in the shallow end. And then just learning the basics. How can you practice some of the basics even at home? But I think education and being knowledgeable, but it's going to take a community. It's not just a one and done, or just having the put all the onus on the teachers. It's a community. It's actually meeting with the parents, having maybe get-togethers, maybe a community outreach where it's a festival, because people want to come where there's food and there's fun. And if we're able to have that available and you're going to have the audience, I think that's something that can be implemented. But that's just an idea that has always been in back of my mind. Why are we not teaching dry land exercises more in the elementary schools?
Taria, what do you think about that, getting more Black kids in the water?
Man, that's amazing. That is really good, and I've never thought about, well, I do some dry land, but yes, if you don't have that ability, have accessibility to a pool, yeah, more dry land, getting them in. I mean, and then I like to have doctors and pediatricians make sure they tell the parents, get your kids in the swim lessons. It's such a preventable, drowning is so preventable. Let's get them learning how to swim, and more scholarships and things getting to the people in the community where it's less affordable, like, to make it affordable. Like, I know with the YMCA, we get people to donate, so we got like $5 and $10 lessons. They get 8 swim lessons for $5 and $10, and they've been coming. And it's been such a blessing to know that. And then we have outreach program in the summer, and we go to all the schools, and they come to the Y and learn how to swim. At least they may not learn fully, but at least if they can learn just enough to save themselves. And that's what's important. Just save yourself.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to add, too, it has to be a priority in our African-American communities. The parents have to make it a priority. Think about, you know, other sports like basketball, which is popular, or track and field, or other, you know, soccer. Swimming has to be a priority prior to the summer.
Yes.
Definitely prior to the summer, but during the summer, because a lot of times it's not on the forefront. Usually a lot of kids are learning how to swim in the winter. This is when they're getting their skills, you know, toned up a little bit, and understanding that if you start early, not only just prior to the summer, but starting kids at an earlier age is also paramount and also very important. So elementary age, you know, 4, 5, 6-year-olds, if we can start swimming earlier, teaching them, then the less fear will develop as they get older.
Latasha Key is a PhD candidate, Department of Recreation, Sports, and Tourism at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. She's designing a new program aimed at helping Black girls learn to swim. We've also been speaking with Taria Goodwin, head coach of the Mako Swim Team based at the O'Fallon Park Rec Complex, YMCA, in St. Louis. Latasha, Taria, thanks so much for sharing your stories and your work with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
More to come after a short break. Stay with us.